بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل ما أسألكم عليه من أجر إلا من شاء أن يتخذ إلى ربه سبيلا. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم has been instructed to announce that I do not request, I do not ask for any remuneration in this mission of mine, that is talking about Allah Ta'ala, bringing people towards Allah Ta'ala, then I do not ask for any type of remuneration. Now, this becomes so important that the one that is representing the Nabi, what frame of mind must he be working with? A frame of mind that I don't want any remuneration. The one that is instructing, the one that is teaching, the one that is the deputy of the Nabi, then he must understand that what is in his heart reflects on the audience. If there is goodness, if there is sincerity, there is love in his heart, then that reflects on the audience. If it's spite, if it's malice, if it's hate, if it is an agenda, or it's a hate speech, or it is to embarrass and disgrace, then that also reflects on the audience. So whatever is in your heart, that reflects. See, when the ustad, or the one that is talking, when he speaks, so the audience or the learners, their ears are focused, their eyes are focused at his face, the ears are focused at his words, but the hearts are reflecting what is in his heart. What's in his heart is coming into the heart. And very seldom do we take cognizance of the fact that the heart is also getting affected. It's not possible that when there is a gathering of two people, just two people, then one person doesn't get affected with the other. There must be one getting affected with the other. Right? So someone asked, when one is going to get affected with the other, then the worst people will be the mashayikh. Because all those that are broken down, they come to the mashayikh. So when they come to the mashayikh, then the mashayikh will be most broken down. So Allah explains that the sunnah, the way of Allah Ta'ala is, when you are coming for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, for a person that you know is in this work, then he doesn't get affected. Right? In fact, as people come in, then his progress is proportionate. People came in and he has to explain. They come in and he has to explain. They come in and he has to explain. The more he's explaining, then the more he's progressing. Sometimes I think to myself that the weaknesses that I got, when I speak about it, I will not say that this is my weakness, because to explain your weakness is not the right thing. But I'll talk about it, and then I don't know, perhaps there may be someone that is sincere here. And on account of his sincerity, I get affected. So, for my own good, I will speak. Although many people will say that, no, I think I was being directed. I think I was being spoken about. But very seldom people understand that I'm speaking about myself, mainly, largely. So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has been commanded, Ma as'alukum alayhi min ajr. I ask for no remuneration. So the mind must be absolutely clear, absolutely pure. Right? And you need to understand that when you are working for Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will take care. If you take care of your employee, that he is pushing your product, is marketing your product, and you being, you appreciate that, you like that your product is getting marketed, is coming through the market. So Allah will not take care of you. He will take care of you, and inshallah, He will take care of you with respect, with honor. What you never enjoy, you'll enjoy. That's the enjoyment, because you're working for Allah Ta'ala. All you need to do is do two things. See that that element of sincerity is not affected. And number two, see that you are saying it in the right way. Not hurting, not smashing down, not disgracing, not embarrassing, not striking points. No, don't do it for that reason. Do it the right way, and the heart must be right. After that, it is Allah Ta'ala who will grant tawfiq to whoever He pleases. So the Nabi is commanded that say that I will not ask for any remuneration on this. Now the one that is talking or the one that is doing dawat work, if he goes with this frame of mind that I'm not asking for anything, I don't want it, so the audience will be in a better position of receiving. Otherwise, the audience think, you know, alright, so and so is here now. Who's organizing the dawat? Who's arranging? So now, is he or who someone must do it now? So I ask you, will their minds will be so receptive? Their minds won't be receptive. The minds will be now, who's going to make the arrangements? See? So the Nabi comes, and the Nabi must deliver the work, and the minds of the audience must be absolutely receptive. There's no strain, there's no burden, there's no obligation. Just listen. Listen attentively. إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ يَتَّخِذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي سَبِيلًا. All the Nabi is asking for is the one that wants to take a path to the Rabb. That's what he wants. So I'm desirous of that you take a path to the Nabi. So you want to take a path, that means if you are sincere, for example, or you're looking for the truth, then just let your mind be on that. Don't look at who's coming, who's going, and what is the response. Don't look at nothing. But I came for my good. Understand yourself to be in a hospital, in an ICU. So you're not worried about amount of patients that came, who came, and what benefit they took. So the patient will be most concerned about himself. I need to take a treatment here. I need to be rectified. I need to be corrected. مَنْ شَاءَ يَتَّخِذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي سَبِيلًا. So what is the Nabi desirous of? Of the one that wants to have a straight path with Allah Ta'ala. In other words, he wants a good relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Go straight, go to Allah Ta'ala, go right. Like a man says to his children as he's aging, see, I give you all my property, my wealth. I don't want anything from you. All I want is you eat nicely, drink nicely, and live with love. Right. Take everything. Eat. All I want from you is live nicely. Eat, drink, enjoy, and live with love. That's what I want. So I ask you, when he's asked them to live with love, to eat and enjoy, is it to his benefit or is it to their advantage? It is to their advantage. إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ أَن يَتَّخِذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي سَبِيلًا. So the Nabi is asking, say, do this. The side of the Nabi, Allah Ta'ala will take care. How he will do it, Allah Pak knows. But he will take care. Nabi will have that reliance and that confidence in Allah Ta'ala. Yeah. Now, the world has been designed such, there isn't a point in time where the man has got no fikr, he's got concern all the time. That's why one of the more realistic name is Humam. Humam is a person who got fikr. Ham, right? Hammam or Humam is who? It's the person who got fikr. So a man, from the time that he's born till he dies, can you say that he's got no fikr? He's got fikr. Something or the other is troubling him. His mind is not at ease. Right? If he's 3-4 years of age, now he's worried, now I have to go to nursery. And in nursery now, I can't go until the teacher allows me to leave. Then as he's about 7-8, then he's admitted into school. Then he's coming a little bit of age, then now he's becoming of, he's recognizing his indolences, right? When he comes then of that age, then he wants to get married, right? So that figure. Then when he's married, then he wants children, that figure. Go to this doctor, go to that gynae, go to this one here for advice, whatever. You know? Right. That figure, right? When that is over, and that child becomes big, get him married. And he gets children, now you're worried about your Navasa and Potra. Right? Your grandchildren, maternal and paternal, right? You're worried about them. And that fikr doesn't end, it continues. And perhaps it teaches us the lesson of humility. There are no time, but don't be proud of yourself. You don't know what's going to be the turning of the event. Now you've got children, what they're going to do, you don't know. And then you've got grandchildren, and what they're going to do, you don't know. One person came here crying, Bishara. So he says, you know, I thought money and education is the main thing. That's what I thought. Money and education was the main thing. So I worked and I worked and I worked. My children came up with good passes, excellent passes. 7 A's and all that. But the teachers also said, don't waste the life of this child of yours. She's got such a brilliant, she's so brilliant, she's got 7 A's. So don't waste her life, put into university. So with the recommendation and the tashkil of the teachers and the headmaster, she was put into university. After 2 years or 3 years, she's doing very good, you know, very good. Her degrees, whatever she's bringing. Now she's about graduating. And around the time that she's graduating, she comes home with her boyfriend. And she says to the mother, this is my Khoza boyfriend, who's an atheist, I intend to marry him. The mother fell unconscious there and then. Khatlo deyo. Unconscious. So you don't know what's the turn of the event. What's going to happen to your child? What's happened to your grandchild? You're seeing this and you're listening to this and it's supposed to be teaching you a lesson, but you can't be proud. You can't be arrogant. You don't know what's going to happen. Just now you know what's going to happen. To yourself, to your child, to your grandchild, to your daughter-in-law, your son-in-law. What's going to happen to them? You don't know. So it's teaching you some good lessons. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتِ. The main lesson is teaching you by don't trust and don't hope in anything. Hope and trust in Allah Ta'ala. You hope in Allah Ta'ala and you trust in Allah Ta'ala. Don't put your hopes into anything. You don't know when this thing will collapse. What will happen, you don't know. Now you're making everything, you're scoring and you're progressing. And then now you have to just cover up. Push it under the cupboard. Nobody must come to know. Push this under the cupboard. And it's too much under the cupboard then. The cupboard also has to say, I can't manage now. At some point that thing is going to get exposed. How much are you going to hide? How much are you going to keep it? So you need to trust Allah Ta'ala all the time with absolute humility. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلْحَيْ. And then Allah Pak says, when you're trusting and relying and having confidence, then not in things, on the one that is eternal alive. Because I got trust in him, for example. Alright. So until he's alive then, alright. And then, so a man will have 3 deficiencies, right? Either he will not do my work, right? Or number 2, he can't manage it. Either he will not do, either he cannot manage, either he has a change of heart. He was such a good person, and his heart just turned around. Can you see that? Does it happen or doesn't it happen? We were so good, we had such a good relationship. And then the man's heart just changed around, from friendship to hatred. Yesterday there was a case where the man doesn't want to see his son. I don't want to see him. He can do whatever he wants. I don't want to see the son. Can you imagine now the bond that the father has or the parent has with his children? Because I don't want to see him. But now you see, the child is growing up, so much of love, so much of attention, like a bundle of happiness you've got, bundles of joy. And then you have a sudden turn. Muqallib al-qulub, al-qulub bayna isba'i al-Rahman. It's just between the fingers of Allah Ta'ala. He turns it in the direction that he wants. Now when you see the nature of man, what it's supposed to be teaching you, that don't trust, don't have hopes. Now, trust is a different thing, and a hope is a different thing. What are you trusting would work, alright? He did the work. But your hopes must be in Allah Ta'ala alone. Because you don't know when he's going to turn. How he's going to turn, when he's going to turn, you don't know. And if he turns, then you'll feel totally despondent and hopeless. Hey, what I had so much of expectation in him, and see what he's done to me. So you'll become so frustrated, you'll become so despondent, you'll become so hopeless and helpless. So Allah Pak says, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلْ الْحَيِّ. When he says, hey, hey, what he means, also, that the one who is always, right, he is always. That means, his attributes are always. There is no fluctuation of his attributes. If he's compassionate, he's always compassionate. If he's loving, he's always loving. If he's almighty and powerful, he's almighty and powerful all the time. It's alive. It's not fluctuating. It's not collapsing. He's always in one state. So your hope, your love, your confidence, your trust must be on him alone. Leave the rest. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلْ حَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. Now to support this, to strengthen this, this bond you've got with Allah Ta'ala, to support it and to strengthen it, right? See Allah Pak says, in so many places in the Quran Sharif says, one place says in 24th Sipara, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ abda. Is Allah Ta'ala not sufficient for his servant? Like if it is your child, and your child went somewhere else for some help, How hurt don't you feel? I mean, your father is around, and what was the need for you to go around there? Or make it worse, or she is looking at someone else besides you. The wife is looking at someone else besides you. I'm not around. Do I not do things for you that you have to go and ask this one here and that one? How hurt don't you feel? Don't you feel hurt? So, Allah Ta'ala being the Creator Supreme, right? And He's saying, am I not sufficient for you? I ask you, doob mar jane ki baat hai. You need to drown yourself in shame. When I am around, then what's for the need for you to turn away from me and go elsewhere for support? I am around. Alaysa Allahu, how clear the word. Just look at the verse. Alaysa Allahu bi kafin abada. Is Allah Ta'ala not sufficient? Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullahi, Hazrat rahmatullahi explained his incident, you know. It says, one woman came to ask for masala. So, she says to her husband, she's asking from behind the veil, right? So she says to her husband, Basri Rahmatullahi, that if the Shariat had allowed, I would have removed the veil and shown you my face. And then I would have asked you that a man that has got a beautiful wife as this, as myself, is it right for him to take another wife? Hassan rahmatullah, when he heard this, he fainted. He is Sayyidu Tabi'een. From all the Tabi'een, he's about the head, about the greatest, right? That means those that have seen the Sahaba Ikram, he's about the greatest, right? But when he heard this woman asking this type of a question, he just fell unconscious. So the Muris, they got him right and all that after some time. So they asked him, what was the need? How did you take this woman so serious and you just fell into a swoon? You just unconscious. What happened to you? He says that if on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Pak were to ask, when he had to remove the veil, right? He had to remove the veil of his glory and you saw Allah Ta'ala. And then Allah Ta'ala asked, when I am your Rabb, was it the right thing for you to turn away from me and go to someone else? What would be the response of people then? When I am around, then you turn to this person, that person, the third person. Isn't it embarrassing? You got an Allah Ta'ala and you moved away from him, you took someone else, the third person, fourth person. Alright, the world operates with cooperation, etc. Right? But the trust must be in Allah Ta'ala. He'll make it happen. See this, relationships sour, they break. Why they break? Why they become sour? Because I feel he is doing it. And when he's turned around, he's not doing it any longer, so my relationship just broke with him. But then who to ask you to put your trust into him? Yes, you make the arrangements. Whatever arrangements you need to take, you take the arrangements. Make the arrangements. But that will not make your work. It will not make things happen. You look for a job, you start off a business, you start off something, right? But it won't be the job or the employment or the studies that will accomplish anything. It will be Allah Ta'ala that will do it for you. Then why do you put your heart into these things? And on account of you putting your heart into these things, therefore you feel so down, let down, collapsed, you're a failure now, you can't do things. One man was in financial constraints, you see. So, you're looking for a job, high and low, can't look for a job, can't find a job. So, eventually, he found a job as a batyara. Batyara is a cook, personal cook now. So now he's doing the calculations in his mind that I'm here as a cook now, and the salary is paltry, small little salary. So obviously I'm going to be doing the cook, so I'll be needed 3-4 times in the day. So I'll be staying with the boss, and there must be some leftover, so I'll eat that. Although it's a paltry salary, that'll be good enough at least for my family to take care of themselves. So he made all the calculations in his mind. I'll get about 2,000. That I can send to my family, they can sort themselves out, and I will just live here, and the leftovers, the crumbs or whatever, I will take care of myself. So anyway, he started the job. As he started the job now, obviously in the first, second week, he has to do it very well. That now he must confirm the job here, but he's doing it very well. Now the style in India is that the one that prepares the food, he must dish out for the boss as well. So he's got the pot and he's dishing out. So the boss says, "Or," so he's looking down. Mere liye kya baki reh gaya? What's it there for me? How many pieces? Boss saying, "Or, some more." Now when he's given everything, now when in India, like a idiomatic expression, right? They say, "Zara, Kaaba Sharif ka jharu bhi main de dun." I said, let me just sweep the Kaaba Sharif also. What he meant, now give me the pot. Let me just clean the pot as well. Now all his hope just bust. Everything broke. Okay, whatever I had here, this man finished everything up here. When he reached that point, so that batyara, that cooks up, he took the pot, not because at that time they were cooking on fire, see. So the bottom of the pot will be black. So he picked up the pot and faced it to the boss. Zara, Hajar Aswad ka bhi bosa le lo. May kiss the Hajar Aswad also. But now his despondency is because of what? You see, his own calculation. He relied and he trusted in himself. And Allah Bhagwan, but don't trust anything. Trust in me. Watawakkal al-hayy. Alladhi la yamut. He's consistent. There's no fluctuations in Allah that he was and he will be. No. He was and he'll be always. Right? The way sometimes we carry on like, no, Allah Pak is supporting these people, not supporting us. Why? He is there always. But how much do you turn towards him? Or is it that you turn towards him only at the time of constraint? Or you are impatient. Right? So sometimes you are going through a small trial and time will tell, right? So you have to be patient and then time will show the goodness in you, right? Yusuf alayhi salam, he was separated from his parents for approximately 40 years. He had to go to prison for 9 years. Right? So Allah Pak disowned him, disliked him. So it was a trial that he had to go through. His father became blind in the process. But it was a trial that he had to go through. And Yusuf alayhi salam, being a Nabi, was languishing in prison because of any sin. No sin. So Allah Pak knows why he's going through this trial. We don't need to know what is the trial. I am gunegar and I made some gunads here now. You think of 10 years ago what you did. But make one istighfar and finish it up. Don't worry about it. I was, the grace of Allah Ta'ala, was explaining one ayat in the Quran in the masjid. Illa man taba wa amana wa amila amalan salihan fa ulaika yubaddilullahu sayyi'atihim hasanat. Allah Pak says, the one that wrong, right? 3 crimes have been mentioned. One is polytheism, shirk, that's the worst, right? ascribing partners to Allah Ta'ala. Number two is murder, وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسِ. And the third, يَزْنُون. So polytheism, right, shirk and joining partners with Allah Ta'ala, then killing someone in cold blood, unnecessary, without any justifiable reason. And number three, adultery or fornication. Two different things, right? In English, adultery means a married man doing the same indecent act, and fornication is unmarried. But both are same, right? Both is zina. So now, if any person has perpetrated the wrong, the Allah Pak says that يُضَعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابِ. He didn't make tawbah, he made shirk, he did all these things here. So his punishment will just go on increasing. يُضَعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابِ. Just go on multiplying, increasing. وَيَخْلُطْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا. He'll live in Jahannam in disgrace. Right? But then Allah Ta'ala makes an exception. Makes an exception. Because he knows he has designed the world, he's designed people, and people will have ups and downs, either udar, they will come up and down, right? They will change. So when he's designed and he knows that you'll have up and down, so at some time, at some point of your life, you did something wrong, right? He knows that you will do wrong. But also he knows that he blesses you with tawfiq and with grace for you to come to your senses again, right? Come to your senses, understand, I am around, you have wronged, so correct yourself, rectify yourself. So then there are those people that will exploit this. They will take advantage. What they will do, right? Allah said he'll make maaf. So let us take advantage. Illa man taba wa amana wa amila amalan salihah. So you made tawbah and did righteous works. Your evil is converted into right. Right? Now the Mufassirin give two explanations to this. That your wrongs are transformed into right. Right? One is that non-Muslim who has accepted Islam, right? After accepting Islam, then sometimes he has flashbacks of the wrongs that he had done in the past. And then he feels so remorseful, hey, what I did, man, what stupid things I did. I murdered, I slept with people, and I did a lot of wrong things, drank, and did a lot of things, right? So when he has these flashbacks, then he feels remorseful, what I did, what a stupid thing I did. So for his iman, and for the remorse that he's showing, Allah Ta'ala will transform his wrong into right. So in that tafsir I explain, imagine now, you know, we all coming from a business class, right? Come from business class, so we understand business sense, right? So imagine someone had 5 million debit account with you, right? And you were happy with him. Said, no, don't worry, bye. That 5 million, now it's a credit balance. Did you hear of anybody doing it? Now that is our Kareem Allah Ta'ala. We don't understand the extent of his mercy, really. We don't understand. مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ. We don't understand the extent of his love, of his compassion. Did you ever hear, you had a debit balance, right, of 10 million, and the man got happy with you and made it, or everything struck off. Now I made it into a credit balance for a small procedure. What procedure was it? Made tawbah, it became right and all that. Then he felt remorse of what wrong you've done. Really sincere about it. But he has transformed it. You see Allah Ta'ala. See how merciful. Now, if in spite of this level of compassion, someone doesn't take advantage of his mercy, then who's to be blamed? So the second explanation they give, that is now for the non-Muslim. So here, all Muslims here, non-Muslim that came into Islam, Allah gave him this, right? But what about the born Muslim? Do we have any luck also? Do we have any chance also? So the Mufassirin give two explanations, right? And it's important that the tafsir is from them. Right? You don't give it out of your pocket. So for a Muslim now, he says, if he's guilty of these crimes, whichever crimes he was, right, involved in, but then he made tawbah sincerely. And after making tawbah, then he tried to reform himself. He tried to correct himself. Before, for example, he was flashing money in the wrong place, going to casino, gambling, interesting, right? Doing all the stupid things, right? Doing fanciful, extravagant weddings and all that. Now he says, no, hey, I can't continue with this. let me do something good in my area or around me, say 10, 15, 20 kilometers, I can see some poor people living, Muslim or non-Muslim, let me go and look after them. Let me look after the lights at least, or let me go and look after the groceries at least. If I can't do for 1,000, at least 100 people, let me do for them. So now before he was taking a wrong turn, now he's using the money again, he's still spending, he's still earning. But instead of giving it in extravagance, interest, gambling, casinos, drinking, etc., I say, hey, this 100 people that are living here, inshallah, by the grace of Allah, I will take care of them. So now, you see, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَأَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. So that amal salih, that good work, is a proof of the sincerity of his tawbah. One is I say, hey, make maaf, and I forget you. But one is I say, make maaf, and I have something as a support, that really, I'm really remorseful for the wrong that I've done. Right? So isn't there a difference? One is I just make maaf, finish, forget it, right? And one is I'm really remorseful, hey, I did something very stupid. For example now, I smashed your car, right? So I'm so remorseful. I feel remorseful and it's eating me, you know, that remorse, that remorse is eating me up. So one day I said, hey, forget this thing now, let me drive that remorse out of my mind. I bought a brand new car and gave it to you. So isn't that an evidence, a support that I'm really remorseful? Is that an evidence or not? It's an evidence that I'm really remorseful. That's evidence, see? We also accept that. We know. So Allah Ta'ala says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. On the day of Qiyamah, then Allah Ta'ala, how will He treat you? Imagine how Allah Ta'ala treats you. We heard of the fear of Allah Ta'ala, but did we listen to the love of Allah Ta'ala? Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi, for 40 years he spoke about the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Then he thought, you know, I'm speaking about the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, people may just take advantage. So let me talk at least about the wrath and the anger of Allah Ta'ala. His spirituality and righteousness was at that level. When he spoke, in that one audience, one address that he made, some janazas came out. People's heart burst in fear. Right? His intention was right. He said, no, people may take advantage. I'm not only talking about mercy, I'm not talking about the other side. Allah Ta'ala inspired him. Hey Abdul Qadir, kya meri rahmat 40 saal mein khatam ho gaya? Allah, oh Abdul Qadir, my rahmat, the extent of my mercy, has it expired in 40 years? What? See, so did we understand the extent of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala? Do you accept? And feel shame within ourselves, feel embarrassed, that when this is the level, the height of His compassion and love, what am I doing? My time, my wealth, my energy, am I spending it like how I'm supposed to be spending it? Am I spending it like how I'm supposed to be spending it? You see? فَوْلَائِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. What was I saying before this? Ji? How Allah Ta'ala will treat you. Yeah? So on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will call one servant, right? Perhaps it will be a person, Imam Bukhari Sahib has got this hadith, but he's got it somewhere also mentioned, where he shows how Allah Ta'ala conceals your faults. See, He conceals your faults. See His love. Was there a need for Allah Ta'ala to conceal your fault? So He's honored you and He's concealed your mistakes. He's honored you and He's concealed your mistakes. So can you see how much He's loved you? That He didn't go and advertise your mistakes. Unless you go, your stupidity, go and talk to the whole world about the wrongs that you are doing. But He, as your Rabb, He loves you to that extent that He conceals your mistakes as well. And I say to my friends, you know, if it were that Allah Ta'ala revealed all our mistakes from the day that He knows, before the day we know us, ourselves, you know, from puberty till now, I'm sure nearly all of us would want, hey, we'd rather be dead. The day we know of ourselves till now, if Allah Ta'ala revealed all our mistakes, and the mistakes that were revolving in our minds, we'll do this and do this and do this, right? I'll ask you, will anybody want to remain alive? So He concealed you so much, that means He loves you so much. then how did you respond to it? How do you respond to it? Do you think about the mercy, the love, the compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So on the day of Qiyamah, he will call a believer and he will cordon him off. After he's cordoning him off, then he says, فَأَرْتَ كَذَا فِي يَوْمِ كَذَا فِي مَكَانِ كَذَا. You did this on this day, on this and this place at this time. Now it's playing before you as a video. Is there any room for you to reject? You did this at this place with this person at this time. Is there any chance for you to reject? No chance for you to reject. So Allah Baqarah then say, alright, you concealed and you blocked off the sins of people. I will block off your sins today, number one. Right? But only block off your sin. But for this wrong that you have done, alright, for this wrong that you have done, you got this palace there. Look at the palace. Your heart can burst, you know. If Allah Ta'ala had not decreed a thing like death, hey, what I'm seeing? What I see? You know, you can't, your mind can't take it so much. Your heart can't take it so much. So you saw that thing, hey. For the wrong that you have done, I have given you this palace. Then that servant would say, Allah, you know what? I did another wrong also. That wrong also. You see, as though you're reviving Allah Ta'ala. But do you see the extent of His mercy? Extent of His love? Now we don't take advantage of His love, of His mercy, of His compassion, and just leave it. There must be some time in the day or the night, we think about His love, His compassion, what He's doing, what He's done for us. Rather than just keep crying, hey, you know, I got this problem, I got that problem. This problem, what He's done for you, did you ever think about it? So وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. Now to strengthen this, to support this, what you do? وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِي. See, this day is coming to Zilqa'dah, right? Then one of the most virtuous things to do is Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Mullah Zakaria Sahib printed one article where you read Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar 100 times, right? You get a Hajj Sawab. Can't we do these things? Take out some time. But with a little bit of love, not just by the way, as a ritual, right? With white beard, I feel ashamed to ask, you know. But even at your age, right? When this intimacy, you want any interruption, right? No interruption you want, right? Now I say the white chacha, what he's got, but he also doesn't want any intimacy, right? He doesn't want any interruption. So when you have that personal contact with Allah Ta'ala, how can you endure any type of interruption? Read a Subhanallah, but with a frame of mind, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. But read with a frame of mind. You want to develop, you want to bring about a contact with Allah Ta'ala, a relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Two chachas are no more in the masjid here, so I can talk about their stories, right? Or they're dead and gone, so I can talk about it. So one chacha is in front of me. One chacha tied his beard nicely. The other chacha is chatting, bhai, bhuli jani, forget all this here. You're not going to camouflage your age with this. But what if you're the marija? You will die any time. So I like the way this chacha talk. They freely, they don't take it personally. Now here, hey, if you think, kewa jawa to hun ke hai, I'm going to say him what he'll take it. Regular musallis, all, you know, 5 times namaz, tahajjud, everything. But they'll joke a little bit here and there. Some beat it the bag also. But they take it in the stride, alhamdulillah. So when you say Subhanallah, وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِي. What are you saying? When you say Subhanallah, what are you saying Subhanallah? When you say Subhanallah, you're saying that Allah Ta'ala is free of all faults. What do you mean by all faults? You're saying that He's perfect. In every respect, He's perfect. Beauty is perfect. Might is perfect. Glory is perfect. Every respect, there is no flaw in you. So now you're saying Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Now isn't there a different spirit in your recitation? Isn't there a different flavor? One is you drink coke, one is just pushing it down. You didn't taste it, you didn't enjoy it. One is taking it slowly, simply. Is there a difference or not? There is an obvious difference, right? Sipping it slowly, eating that thing, but eating it nicely, enjoying it. So isn't there a difference? So, subhanallah. Now that is with life. You're talking with life, you're talking to Allah Ta'ala. And how nice don't you feel that I'm talking, I'm intended to Allah Ta'ala. Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala. You're so perfect, you're so kind. In your kindness you're perfect. In your love you're perfect. Everything else, their love also fluctuates. If the wife made a nice curry of kebab, then you love her too much, right? And then the next day she made masoor and magh, then the love is the same. Yours is fluctuating, but he is always, always perfect, complete. So when you say subhanallah, you're saying in that. So, wasabbih bihamdi, say alhamdulillah. So when Allah Ta'ala is perfect, in every respect he is perfect, no flaws. Perfect means he's got no flaws, no weaknesses. Right? When he's perfect in every respect, then say alhamdulillah also. Because all praise is from him and due to him. So he is all praiseworthy. He is most beautiful. So everything else, you know, one person was going for Hajj, you know, educated person. So he came for some advice. Compared to, I don't know how many degrees. One person came and so he says, I don't know how many times I had to go on the stage, you know, wear that, what, that robe and all that, the whole show that goes, you know, about 13 or 20 times. They come for advice now. So you give them advice according to their ages, whatever. So I told him, see, you're going for Hajj, you go with a clean heart. She said, well, what do you mean by clean heart? So I like this people. Sometimes educated people, they'll ask you relevant questions. They won't pretend like they know everything. They want to know exactly what it is. So I told him, cleanliness, purity in four dimensions. But I just want to share one dimension. So I told him, see, even to the extent of fantasizing of the past. He still looked at me now, fantasizing of the past, I have to make it a little bit more real. So I said, you know, that girl was in your class. Oh, right, I know it, I got it. That Jamila, so he's giving the name. So you can't even fantasize about her. I like this simple, although they're educated, but they're simple in the mind, simple in the mind, I like that. So I said, but you know, up till last week he's telling me, her thoughts were in my mind. Now he's over 65, 70 nearly, right? But up till last week her thought was in my mind. But last week I just lost it for her. Because now we were in school at about grade 8, 7, 8, right? 5, 7, 5, 7, 4. And that mind, you know, she was so beautiful and all that. I said, well, I just out of curiosity asked him, but she was so long in your mind, and what caused her to be deleted? He said, no, he and his friend were going to the mall, right? In the mall, and the Suresh saying, you know that Jamila? You know, they're playing pranks in school, right? So he knows what he was doing. So you know that Jamila? Yeah. She's this year. Hey, she was in the mall. She was on a walker, Parkinson, and as ugly as possible. Hey, I just forgot her. At the same moment, I forgot her. Now, to forget that thought, one easy way is just to fast forward that woman. Fast forward the woman and see what she'll be then. Then you'll forget her, khalas. But you think, hey, that like diamonds are forever and beauty is forever, then no, you're playing the wrong button. That thing is not forever. It's just a single moment, a few days of glory and all that, and then everything has to collapse, right? So, Allah Ta'ala is the one, alhamdulillah, that His beauty is always, it's always. In fact, the Jannati, my understanding is, the Jannati, as he sees the glory and the beauty of Allah Ta'ala, he'll keep seeing different dimensions. What I saw now, what I'm seeing now, and you know, the glory and the beauty coming from different dimensions. You're seeing, and billions and trillions and gazillions of years are passing, but the glory is not ending. It's beauty upon beauty upon beauty, layers upon layers. So when you're saying subhanallah in that frame of mind, alhamdulillah, if I'm dying for beauty, then look that beauty at that side. Is this any beauty? It's gonna fade away sooner or later. But don't have that opinion about your wives, please. You must feel that she is the prettiest, what? Just paint a picture of the prettiest woman. You don't want to have this Parkinson thing about your wife. That for all strange women. Or your wife, she's a best whore, right? I have to give this because the stupid people also eat this majlis, right? And you don't give them the other side of it. They say, hey, your wife also will become like a Parkinson. So about your wife, you have the prettiest picture. About all the strange women, you have the worst pictures. So you don't just delete all that from your mind. وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِهِ. You understand? Then you're saying, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. What are you saying? When you say Allahu, what are you saying? You're saying really, Allah Ta'ala is even greater than my perception and my thought, my imagination. I think He's far, far greater than all that. So now you're saying, Subhanallah, slowly, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. But now it's a different flavor. After Namaz, there's a Subhanallah as well. You're looking around, no, don't do it. There's no maja in that. You're not getting that reward. You're not getting that attachment. You're not getting that love and the bonding with Allah Ta'ala. You want that love, then read like that. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Now you see that you're bonding differently with Allah Ta'ala. It's natural. You want to love. Man wants to love. Man wants to see beauty, right? Man wants to escalate. And when Allah has created you, that you want to escalate, you want to see beauty, so He's created a capacity in you that you must escalate, right? But just that the capacity is being used to channel in the wrong way. You're using the capacity, but that capacity is being used for wrong reasons. Or maybe not the best reason. Let us not say the wrong reason, but not the best reasons. Now look, that capacity can be used for the best reasons. You say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah once says, he was at a dawat, and there was a Sufi there, right? Now, see, the wrong that goes with some people, as Mufti Shafi Sahib says, one verse under the verse, إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا سُمَّوْا وَعُمْيَانَا. Right? When they are reminded, what? They're reminded about Allah Ta'ala, His commands, His admonition, etc. لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا سُمَّوْا وَعُمْيَانَا. They don't do as if they are blind and deaf. They don't carry on as if. When they hear the word of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Pak is being reminded, you're being admonished of Allah Ta'ala, they don't do as if they are blind and deaf. Well, it's casual, we hear about this thing. No. They're very serious about it. They don't behave as though they're blind. Well, I heard about it, I'm bored about it, I heard these things here. So they don't carry on like this. Right. So he says, the people this day, because they have been to circular education, they can read and write. Now because they can read and write, therefore they feel, I'm giving my words, what he said, but I'm giving my words, right? So you may not find the Ma'arif al-Quran exactly like this, but it's my words, I'm reinterpreting what he said. So now because they can read and write, so what they have done, in one of three ways, they went wrong, right? Someone went to capture the body of the article that you did. You read about namaz, so you try to capture the body of namaz. So you thought to yourself, namaz, hey, it's an excellent exercise. So you got the body of namaz. Right? So you know you're going to make so much namaz, so much of exercise, and your body will be fit. So you captured the body of namaz. Right? Minus the spirit. Someone went for the spirit of namaz, he left for the body. He thought, well, the main thing in namaz is the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. So I make zikr all the time, whether I perform the namaz with jamaat or not, but I've got the spirit of namaz. So he went on a different tangent. He went on one tangent, he went on a different tangent, right? So these two people went off. And the third group went off, right? How they went off, how they went wrong, was that they tried to reinterpret according to their thought, right? They try to interpret the Quran or the Hadith according to their own thinking. So when they try to do that, they had an agenda, right? You have an agenda. When you have got an agenda before you, so now you want to fit Islam into that agenda, right? So for example, your agenda is make money, right? So that's the agenda, make money. So you opened up as a bank, make money. Then you heard something about Islam, so you made it an Islamic bank, right? But what's the agenda? What's on the cards? What's in your mind? Make money. Right? That's on your mind. When that's on your mind, now let's squeeze Islam into the bank. What? We'll trim, we'll cut off, we'll try and sort this side, sort that side, and squeeze Islam into the bank, into the operation. I ask you, are you doing a service to the deen of Allah Ta'ala or a disservice? Are we doing a service to Islam or are we doing a disservice to Islam? The Maulana Umar has explained the same point, he's explained like this. One old woman now, so one nice exotic color parrot, good size, exotic colors. That thing had to just fall into her courtyard. She went and saw that thing and she said, "Hey, how beautiful you are." Then she examined that thing and then she said, "Hey, but your claws are so long. You know, you'll have difficulty in eating." So she went and clipped the claw, beak. Then she saw her claws, you know, the nails are so long. You're going to have so much of difficulty, all the bacteria are not going to get into your nails. She went and clipped that. "Hey, but your wings, you know, your wings are so long. Let me clip the wings." Now she clipped the beak, the claws and the wings. Isko bekar bana diya. Like I asked you when she did this, now is this parrot, can it sustain itself? So that's what, na'uzubillah, we have done to Islam. We clipped here, we trim that, try to squeeze it in our cage, our mental operations, bank, wherever, right? And we feel still appeased with ourselves. You know, I'm doing it Islamic. I ask you, we're doing a service or a disservice? Service or a disservice? Think to yourself. So these are the three ways our people went off today. Someone tried for the body, someone tried for the spirit, someone tried to construe according to his own agenda, and they messed the whole thing up. Right? So for the man out there, he wants to look for the true Islam. He says, "Well, they're also after money, they're also running after that. He's also running after that. So what's the difference between me and him?" See, that's how people are doing it. So then, the one that is doing all this thing here, and I ask you, is he leading people or misleading people? Cutting a short corner, cutting a shortcut here, shortcut that side, shortcut this side here. So he's appeasing himself and appeasing others. But I say you are doing a service or a disservice to Islam. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا سُمَّا وَعُمْيَانَا. See that. See the magnificence of the Quran Sharif. لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا. They don't fall down. They'll take it seriously now. Hey, this is the word of Allah Ta'ala. What do I need to do? Hazrat Mawla Qasim Anuti Rahmatullah Alayhi is delivering a speech, right? As he's delivering a speech, and he's talking about India, for a long time they had a custom where it was looked down upon a widow to remarry. She lost her husband or she was divorced or something, and for her to remarry, it was very looked down upon. You know, the whole community was disgusting it. Now sometimes it's a young woman, she lost her husband. Obviously she's got feelings. When she's got feelings, she's forced because of custom not to remarry. Now, if she's going to fall into haram, then you cannot say that she doesn't have feelings, and because of that feelings, and she falls into haram, you're responsible as well. So Mawla is delivering the talk, and one person stood up. So Mawla said, just hold on, give me just half an hour, come back just now. She said, "Unfortunately, our talks are half an hour." So Mawla says, "Just give me half an hour." Mawla knew exactly what this person is going to talk about, right? Mawla went to his sister that was widowed, right? Husband passed away. So he went up. And in India, when you're pleading to someone, you know, desperation, then you take out your turban and leave it at the feet. That person feels overwhelmed. Mawla took out his old turban, left it at the feet of his sister. What happened? You know what? If you want this series of my talks to continue, then I can continue. And if you want, then I'll have to end it today. But what happened? Tell me the truth. He said, "No, I was delivering this talk and this person stood up. And I know exactly what he's going to be talking about. That if you are talking about widows remarrying, then they will tell me, go and fix your home first. They'll tell me, go and fix your home first. My home is not right." They said, "Well, if your home is not right, then what mouth have you got to speak to us?" So now my respect, my integrity, the continuity of my talks depends on you. But by, at my age now, I'm already 65, 70 now, so all that I'll arrange. I'll get all that arranged. But you just say, ha, kabul tuha, that's all. I accept this. So, alright, it's coming from you. It won't be wrong, inshallah. She accepted. Now he comes to the talk, says, alhamdulillah, the thorn that was on the road is removed now. She's married. Now continue. So now, I got no questions. That person that wanted to say something, see. Now that's called the truth, you see. What's in the house, it's outside. What's outside in the house is a transparent picture, pure Islam. People want to see this purity of Islam. Allah Pak Tawfiq Naseeb.